Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Invincibility seems like an eternity ago, doesn't it? We've all recovered from the hangovers, bought the merch, put back last season strips into the cupboard, folded them away. Now, as the song goes, a new day is dawning. A new season, new hope, new players, a new league. Season tickets have been bought, new strips have been purchased, and we're ready and raring to go on our championship journey. This is Falkirk Daft, and we're going to be with you every step of the way. I'm John McAnally, and once again, I'm joined by the ginger god of pod himself, the one-man band in the main stand. It is Ross Wayne, ready for season 24-25. Come on!
Come on, buddy. Buzzing like an old fridge, as the saying goes. Buzzing. Absolutely buzzing.
It's good to be back, brother.
It is. 2 months, I think, since we last did this. I hope we remember how it goes.
I know. I have no idea how it goes. It does feel like such a long time ago. But, you know, obviously, when we were standing in the stands against Alloa and then afterwards and out in the town, and you know, it just that seems like an eternity ago, but you know, you look back, it's only about a month and a half ago. Just post-season seems to just get shorter and shorter every year.
I think the Euros has probably helped a little bit this time as well, isn't it? Yeah. Not that Scotland were there for that long, but
we won't talk about that.
No, we won't. But listen, it's been a hell of a season. We had a well-deserved break. But as we put out in the socials a couple of days ago, as Liam Gallagher says, we're full fit and mad for it again. Let's do it.
Absolutely mad for it. And thank you once again for listening to Falkirk Daft or watching us. Hopefully stay with us for the full season. It's going to be an interesting. We're going to have a wee look out across, you know, a wee bit of a preview on this podcast. In 2 weeks' time, we'll look back at the League Cup stuff, and then we'll be back into weekly episodes for your enjoyment. And we've got to say thanks again for jumping on board this season. The Falkirk football fans in train, Ian, Mitchell, all the boys there. They backed us last season, and they're backing us this season again. And do you know what? We've not had the chance to talk about the charity match that we had against the Falkirk football fans in training way back at the end of the season there, Ross.
Yeah, that was a fantastic afternoon. Just typical. I think that was the last roasting hot day we had as well, because it was absolutely scorching. And we were victorious that afternoon. But scoreline aside, which wasn't really the point, we raised a massive amount of money for charity, a charity that's close to our hearts. And what a laugh we had with two different sets of teams just absolutely loving life playing on the stadium pitch.
I know, it was an unbelievable occasion, and shout out to Chris McGill, kitman extraordinaire, who put a massive amount of effort into it. Had it all set out professionally. We had strips. We were obviously in the away dressing room. The boys had the home dressing room. It was all set out with all the protein stuff and the water. And it was a brilliant, brilliant afternoon. Like Ross says, raised loads of money for lymphoma aid. A couple of dodgy decisions from the referee, I have to say. Basically handing... Yeah, at one point, I was standing on the sidelines going, seems to be an awful lot of people in that park. I mean, like, 1, 2, 3, 4. They had about 14 men, 13 men all at the time.
That last 10 minutes, they had 14 or 15 players on the park.
The referee actually turned to me and said, John, just send everyone on. I'm like, nope, we've got sporting integrity. And we still managed to beat them. I've got to say thank you very much to Liam Craig, who joined the Falkirk Daft team as well. The tactics were basically pass it to Liam.
Pass it to Liam. I must give Liam a shout out on a negative side, however. Bless him, he's a lovely guy. However, that night, I don't know if you remember me saying this, I was going to meet Colin Hendry night at the at Littlekers, and Liam was there as well as a guest of Stevie Barr. And as soon as I walked in, Liam's talking to Stevie Marr, and he went, "Oh, here he comes, the keeper that can't pick the ball up."
Now, yeah, we were getting. There was one moment I passed the ball back to Ross. I was just like, well, it out the park, and he fumbled a bit with it, and he scored the goal. It's the Falkirk Dafford getting the total blame for that goal, by the way. And I have to say a shout out to Adam and the media team, who walked off the park, was swearing and cursing at Liam Craig, calling him a ball greedy bastard, because he was through on goal, and he was absolutely raged. I'm like, mate, it's a professional footballer.
Exactly.
It was brilliant, no, and it was great, and everyone had a great time. Like you said, raised loads of money. We're going to do it again at the end of the next season as well, and that's all thanks to the Falkirk football fans and training. Remember, you can still get involved with the guys, and you saw on that day, Ross, the camaraderie they had, the relationship those boys had. End up going up the town with the boys after the match as well, watch the Champions League final with them. Brilliant. And listen, get involved with them, speak to Ian and the team, you'll get them on the Facebook, and get involved, because it's going to be great for your mental health, great meeting a whole bunch of new guys and friends, and maybe the chance to play against us again at the end of the next season.
Indeed. Yeah, no, listen, absolutely. Just get involved if you can, and a huge thank you to them for sponsoring the podcast again this season.
Yeah, Lava Cup went really, really well. I don't know, honestly, it feels like it was so long ago, but I don't know if we've ever had the chance to talk about the Lava Cup in the last episode, or if that was beyond it, but the Lava Cup went along to that as well on the Saturday, and that was incredible as well. It was just teams from all across Europe. Unfortunately, the Falkirk boys didn't do so well, but it was just a great day for them. They had the Piper coming in, they were doing things in there behind the goals of the Brockville Bar, as it is now, and it was a sensational day. They got great weather for that as well, and I think the club shop on that day, an absolute ton of merch, because all these teams from across Europe are just piling in and just getting anything they could. It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So long may that continue as well. But we are delighted this season to welcome on another sponsor as well, and it is our friends at Behind the Wall. They've been back in the Bairns since 1985, Brian Flynn and all the team over there. Obviously, it's Falkirk's best selection of fine wines, lagers, craft and cask ales. Fantastic value for food and great service. Everyone, if you come from Falkirk, even people that don't come from Falkirk know Behind the Wall. I get so, Gordon DL, who I work beside on Super Scoreboard, former Raith Rovers legend, as he likes to say, air manager, he goes, "That pub in Falkirk, got Behind the Walls, a cracking, eh? I loved going in there." So they've jumped on board with sponsorship this season. So thanks to Brian, as we say. If you don't know as well, if you want a beer before the game, get yourself up to Behind the Wall. They're on a bus down to the stadium and back, and you get, for free, you just have to get a ticket, and you get £1 off your beer when you go back and stuff. Absolutely brilliant stuff, and they've been doing that since God day dot. So get yourself up to Behind the Wall before the match, after the match, get a few pints. Like I say, they have got a very good selection of beers, I have to say. They've got tenants for Ross as well, which he's delighted about. But for, you know, the connoisseur of the beer world like myself, you know, we've got some excellent beers on tap. So get yourself Behind the Wall, and thanks for them jumping on board Falkirk Daft this season. And talking of Behind the Wall, Ross, we're going to be back there for Falkirk Daft Live. That's all been go, by the way, in the Falkirk Daft. We've not just been slacking in the coast season, and we're going to be back in Falkirk Daft Live. It's happening on the 25th of October and March the 7th. Get those dates in your diary. We're also going to be doing our end of season party, like we did. We're still waiting on a date for that, depending on the fixtures. 25th of October, March 7th, guest TBC, tickets going on sale very, very soon. We had a great time the last time. We're going to make it even bigger and better this time. So get those dates in the diary now, and we'll let you know when tickets go on sale for that, Ross.
Yeah, excited for it. Obviously, we waited for the fixtures to come out, and we've picked the dates around the derby, so
I was going to say, there's a slight coincidence in when we're doing them.
It'll be fantastic. What a start to the weekend that'll be on those two weekends. Absolutely.
No, I'm looking forward to those. So get them in the diary now, and like you say, we'll let you know when the tickets go on sale. I've got a couple of ideas up my sleeve in terms of guests, some names that I don't think we've heard really much from since they left the clubs, but Falkirk Stars on the West. We'll get to that as the months
progress. Do we want to invite any token Pfeiffer guests with us playing them? Do we do that?
No, absolutely not. They would just get pillared, wouldn't they? We saw what happened to poor Ewan behind the wall the last time. That's happening. Right, okay. There's a lot to get through, Ross, in this first podcast back. And let's start with, there's loads of news, but I want to talk about primarily the new signings that we've obviously brought into the club. Let's kick off with the one that we saw coming at the end of the season, Michael McKenna from Arbroath. Thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. He's made an impact in this division previously. He knows where the goals are. Just a really exciting signing. Will he start? Will he? Because obviously he's. I think he was in local Falkirk Herald media either yesterday or today, saying that he's a little bit behind from a fitness perspective because he had a pre-planned wedding overseas that he was at. So he's obviously missed a little bit of the pre-season training. So don't know if he'll be a starter within the League Cup games, but certainly sounds like he's going to be pushing to be starting for the first league game.
Is he, now you'd be able to answer this question better than me, is he went from part-time to full-time, or is he continuing to do his, because I know he had quite a well-paid part-time job, because he obviously has been part-time most of his career, so what's the story there?
That's right, no, he's full-time, for the first time ever, he's thrown himself into full-time football. From what I believe, and again, shout-out to Falkirk Herald, because they had an interview with Michael, he's making his business work alongside the full-time football, but Michael made a point of saying, listen, I'm not half-arsing this, I'm throwing myself in. Great. I want to play with Falkirk at the highest level. And I assume he's. I don't know the nature of his personal business, but I take it he's obviously got support in there and he's able to do it round the football. So yeah, no, I think it's a really, really positive sign-in for the Championship. I really do.
Yeah, speaking to a couple of people as well. Now, Michael McKenna is a muscle brother boy, and we all know that's where John McGuinn is, and I think it's a player that John McGuinn's been looking to work with for, from what I gather, years and years and years. He's known him from when he was a boy at Muscle Bra, and I was speaking to a Muscle Bra supporter and he said he was, I mean, this is going back, he said he was what an unbelievable player, and you know, John McGuinn knows the player really, really well. And I guess with Michael McKenna, what you do is bring in the experience that we're missing in Captain Invincible, Mr. Stephen McGinn. He comes into that role, and I guess he's going to be, you know, get his influence over the team and hopefully, you know, replace almost in a like for way what Stephen McGinn did in that team.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be a huge player for us, both on the park, off the park, in the dressing room as well. It probably helps that he knows a few of the players. So he'll know Big Liam Henderson, he'll know Dylan Tate. So there's a few the players there already that he knows really well. I just think he's such a, in terms of what he's done for Arbroath before, he's a type of player who will play off the striker. He'll look to get shots off at the edge of the box. He'll be looking to get the flick-ons that big Ross McKeever will make for him. I just don't see any downside to the signing at all.
And we know he can get goals in the Championship. He was the top scorer in that league when Arbroath had their little flurry up to the top. So good sign, really was really happy. I mean, it was obviously he was there for the last game of the season against Alloa, and then everyone's going, "Oh, is that Michael McKenna?" And everyone knew that at that point he kind of signed. But you know, a good sign. We're obviously looking for keeper Sam Long returning back to his parent club and Luton. So we've went and signed Jamie Snedden, who was released from Partick Thistle. Thoughts?
Yeah. Be honest, I didn't know much of him before he signed. However, seeing the feedback from Thistle fans, he's been a huge player for them for the last 6 or 7 years. Had some key moments in their seasons as well. Scored a goal famously up against Cove. I watched that on YouTube. He seems like a really good keeper for this level again, and it's definitely what we need, because we want to have two, if not three, really competent goalkeepers all shouting and shoving for that number one spot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think Nicky's got the number one shirt, but it'll be interesting to see where Jamie fits in. Obviously, he comes with a bit of experience through his time at Thistle. I think, speaking to Thistle supporters as well, he was released because, you know, I think David Mitchell, who we obviously know as well, came in and did a really, really good job there. And he was kind of the number one for a while, but, you know, I guess he's got experience in the championship, knows what he's doing there. And like you say, it'll hopefully, you know, shows up again for us and pushes Nicky for that number one spot. I'll be interested to see who gets the number one. I guess he'll be looking at John McGuinn will be looking at the League Cup, he'll be looking at the preseason, seeing who shows up better, trying them both out. You suspect though that with him getting the number one jersey and, you know, initially starting the preseason roster, it will be Nicky that will be our number one
I think
goalkeeper.
so. I think Nicky will start as the starting goalkeeper. That said, I think you're right. I think Jamie will get minutes in the League Cup. I don't think for 1 minute it'll just be one of the keepers playing all four League Cup games before the league starts. I think they both will potentially get two games. I think Nicky will be in goals against Dundee United, though. That's my gut feel.
That'll be interesting to see. The other one we've got, which was signed back in January, but we've only had the first chance to have a glimpse of him in the navy blue, was Keelan Adams, what we got from Cumbernauld Colts. And in all reports, and we'll get into the pre-season games a bit later on in the podcast, he has shown up really well at right back, at centre back, and at left back as well.
He sounds like a real versatile player. Obviously, we had heard prior to him joining the squad that John McGlynn was a huge, huge fan of him, and it certainly seems like that way. Granted, we do have injuries, so maybe he may not have been seen as so many minutes or so many positions had we not had the injuries. But what a credit to him that he's made the jump from Cumbernauld Colts straight on to a championship team. And let's face it, with the way the injuries are going, which I know we'll probably touch on, he's going to be a starter this
Looks like
weekend
it.
against Dundee United. Yeah. And
It's
but it doesn't look as if it's going to faze him.
no, it did. It is. I mean, you saw that. I think who was it? The Partick Thistle signed the boy from the juniors as well, and he turned out to be one of the person. His name completely escaped me now, but you know, it just shows that if you've got the quality, you know, you can jump up to that level. And hopefully, certainly hope that he's one that's going to do that. Everyone that I've spoke to that was at the pre-season games has. That's one of the first names that's jumping out their mouth is they've been so
Killing
impressed
Adam.
by Keelan Adams. So looking forward to seeing him. Be interested to see if we, you know, if we get him into the right back berth, which I'm guessing he prefers, and then does it allow Finn to then move into
Pushing in
midfield
the
a bit
midfield.
more? And you know, if he is establishing himself, it might get Finn and pushed into that midfield role. But as you say, and we'll talk about it later, we've got some problems there at centre half. And coming back, two of the Invincibles, and I think as Falkirk supporters, we're delighted that they've kept the band together in retaining both Ethan Ross and Dylan Tate.
Yeah, two phenomenal bits of business. Like, I'm so glad that we know what they can do because we've seen them. But they are exactly what we need in the championship. They're championship quality players, if not higher, and they know the club, they know the fans. They'll slide right into the squad, which quite really, really comfortably. Going back to Keelan Adams, I believe he's been training with the team as well since January, topping up his training. So again, he's obviously fitted really in really well with the group of players, which is brilliant. But yeah, Ethan Ross, Dylan Tate, just for me, they're two starters. They are. I think looking at the team that he picked, John McGlynn picked against Alloa, I wouldn't be shocked if that was our starting lineup for Saturday against Dundee United.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dylan Tate, we could see from day one when he joined the club, you know, scoring that goal against Alloa, which I loved. He was just, you know, he is a level of championship, if you know, say maybe higher than that. And he brings class and composure to that midfield. And that if that means that Nicky, sorry, Liam has to drop into centre half, Dylan can slot in there as well. He can get box to box. We know he's got an eye for goal as well. Just a really classy midfield player. You know, it'd be interesting. I'd like to see him complement. Finn went into that central midfield and Dylan as well alongside Aidan. I think that'd be a really nice balanced midfield. I'd be really excited about that. And Ethan Ross, you know, again, we know what he does. You know, we know he comes on and you know he's pretty much been used, like most part last season was used as a substitute, but again with injuries, he could be playing a bigger part. in this season. So great to see the two guys back, and like you say, it's keeping that, you know, that camaraderie, that group together, you know, which is so important. You know, that's a good thing about not whole, massive wholesale changes. When you look, we've only kind of really got two new names into that side, McKenna and Sneed. And when you talk about Keelan Adams being trained with the team, and I think that was a really important basis of what we built on from last season. And that's the basis which we launched from this season as well, is that, you know, he went out, he signed championship players for the championship, and that's where we're at now. So, you know, I think it's really important. It's great to have Ethan Ross and Dylan Tate back in the squad as well. So really looking forward to seeing them again this season. Let's talk about the most important thing, however. Let's get old fashionista and Jean-Paul Gaultier as we talk about the new strips. Now, Ross, you're my strip man. I come to you on the strip front. You're a collector. Come to you straight away. Let's go through them, the goalie tops.
Goalie tops are nice, aren't they? Yeah, I've seen a lot of people wearing the purple one.
Is that the black one?
No, the is the so right. You've got the black one, you've got the purple one, and then you've got the sort
turquoise
of
one.
Turquoise one, yeah. But I think the purple one for me, that's a standout kit. I don't get me wrong, I don't mind the black and the sort of purple one, but it's black, and it's Dunfermline. That's not my
I am a sucker for a black strip. I don't know if Falkirk ever had a black strip. I can't.
Not that I can think of. No.
Saw that and I went, oh my god, I must have it. I'm looking forward. I'm going up to the going to pop up at the club shop.
Three crackers though, absolutely. Three cracking looking shirts. And as I say, the amount of people that you've seen, like obviously last year,
the goalie top was very popular last
year. Yeah, and exactly that pink and blue effort. So it seems like it's taken off again this year.
Yeah, I love the, if you look at it closely, they've got the, you know, we put up on our social, it was Lewis Connolly posted it up, was the, you know, the inside of the Kelpies and the design of the Kelpies running through it as well. That's a really nice touch. O'Neill's, I mean, it's I don't think the quality of kits is good as the Puma, but the, you know, the fact they take care and they are unique and bespoke to the club, you know, where Puma was a bit of a rip off the shelf kind of job. I think it's absolutely
cracking. I think they've done a fantastic, as you say, they're bespoke to the club. There's a little nod to the local area as well, and and that's what O'Neill's bring. They bring that flexibility and ability to do it. So yeah, long may it continue. And obviously that's kind of stemmed into the home kits as well.
Yeah, let's go to now the home kit. What do we think of the home kit?
I think it's really nice. It's obviously sticking with tradition. So the navy, white shorts, red socks for which.
Oh,
for,
here he goes. Navy.
Which for me,
obsessed with it. Obsessed with it.
I am. I think it's what a Falkirk kit should look like. If you're not going to have the red socks, it should be white. A navy, it's just too Dundee and too Wraith for me. But white shorts, red socks, beautiful. And I think the shirt's different enough from last year. Last year's was fantastic because it was a nod to the past, but with a modern twist with a steeple on the sleeves as well. But I really like this one. I think it's really fresh looking. I don't mind the sort of white band that comes down the left hand side. I think it makes the badge stand out as well. So no, really, 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 really nice kit even. And I think the collar, which normally is a make or break for me in a kit, is looking good with a wee V-neck as well.
My personal thought on it, when I first saw it, I thought it's okay. I just think it looks a bit too Wraith Rovers-y for me. I don't know why. I think it looks a bit like it's a bit Wraith Rovers for me, and I thought
Have you seen Wraith's shirt this year, by the way?
I've not, no, it's stinking.
It's obviously navy, but the sleeves look like bus seat covers.
Right.
You know, like with the wee polka dots and stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't look great.
All right, okay, well, but I saw the home top, that's a wee bit Wraith over there, but oh well. And finally, let's go to the away top, the Hispania looking number.
I really like it again. It is that Spanish feel. It's certainly the full kit looks like a Spain kit, doesn't it, with the navy shorts and the navy the navy socks. No, I think it's really nice. I'm not a massive red kit fan. Like,
is that because of the colour of your hair, the ginger and the red? Go right, okay, colour clash.
I've never been a big red fan. White for me is the traditional away kit, but you can't have white shirts every single season. And who knows if they bring out a third shirt, which I've no idea if they will. That could be white, I suppose.
Have they not? I thought they would be. I thought it was there was going to be heritage kits coming out for the next 3 years. I seem to think, reading at the time, that it's like the heritage kit that was brought last season was like going to be a continuation. And why wouldn't they? Because the heritage kit last season was an absolute belter. Absolutely, really one of my favourite kits ever. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. In fact, last season, I think, was the only time I bought all three kits. But,
See, the thing is, talking of white shirts, though, obviously, and I know we're not going to dissect the training gear, but there's a white shirt, a white T-shirt that would have looked an absolute belter of a match day kit. You know the white one, I mean, with the like sepals all the way through it? It looks absolutely fantastic. So, but yeah, they've obviously used that for the training wear, but it does look a belter.
What's your favourite out of the well, say, there's five kits there, the three goalie top and the away. What's your favourite?
Do you know, it probably, if I was ranking them, it probably would be the purple goalie shirt, actually. Yeah. I think that is my personal favourite out of all of them. Then it would be the home shirt, away, that lilac-y one, and then, I know you love the black one, but I just get, seeing the Falkirk badge on a black shirt, that's just weird looking to me, but it does look nice. It does look nice, but it's not for me.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's the best kits we've ever had. I think they're all right. I just think that they're all right. But I've seen loads of home kits kicking about already. And like you say, I think the goalie tops again are going to be really, really popular. I don't think I will be a three-man kit this season like I was last season.
You say that, but then once we go invincible again this season...
Right, no, calm yourself down. Right, listen, but talking about invincibility, let's speak to a man now who's been a busy boy in the postseason, putting together the memories of last season and written a book about the Invincibles with contributions from supporters, players and management, and including Falkirk Daft contributions. It's the one and only Pablo Robertson.
Hi guys, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Mr. Very Robertson. Well. And how are you? How have you dealt with post-season, apart from writing a book?
Well, I mean, I'm glad it's over. I'm looking forward to a match on Saturday. Maybe not the injury crisis that we're facing.
Yes, we're going to talk about that a bit later on. You were busy writing this book across the post-season.
With about a month to go, I had the idea that we might want to produce something in literature that would be a bit long-lasting. And I went to the club and suggested that we write a book on the Untouchables. At least I'm calling it Untouchables.
Is that because... I've got a question. Is that because Mr. Lehman is trying to copyright it, the Invincibles, so you shat it and just called it the Untouchables instead?
No, it's because it's the club and the... and the town's motto is touch aim, touch awe.
Ah, right, okay.
And in 1999, I wrote a book for Back the Bairns called Touching All. So 10 years on, I sort of quite like the idea of it being continued. And it means the same thing. I mean, untouchables, nobody could touch us. You know?
Yeah. Do you know what? I quite like untouchables rather than invincibles because, you know, a lot of people have tried to decrown, but I quite like the idea of being called the untouchables, obviously harking back to a classic film as well from the 80s.
So anyway, I went to the club and they had been thinking about doing a yearbook or something.
Right.
But they hadn't really thought it through. They didn't really know what they wanted. So I proposed to them that we do a reasonably high quality book. And
it looks
they agreed. Bad. There was a wee bit of back and forth on it all. And but, you know, they're a progressive club. The board of directors are like ideas, especially ideas that make them money. And so they agreed to this. So with a month to go, I basically crossed every single finger and toes that we wouldn't get beat. And I started working on this. I started looking back at all of the highlights. That's 20 hours, right, of highlights, even if you just watch them once. And sometimes in order to get, you know, an accurate description of what happened in a match, because every single match in this book is described. It took much longer than 20 odd hours. And actually, you get a bit bored, believe it or not. You know, as much as you love Falkirk Football Club, watching 20 hours of highlights, it's good if you do it over a number of days.
Based on last season, though, that's just like watching porn.
I mean, you know, the excitement at times was a bit much, right? Especially when you won 5-0, or, you know, Morrison scored 4 goals, you know.
Yeah.
It was fantastic goals. I mean, you know, we all know that. It was a great season. We'll never see it again. I certainly won't. Not
at 65. You know, when you talk about, we've talked about it so many times, only 3 clubs, well, we're discounting Kilmarnock, but only 3 clubs have done it across the history of Scottish football. It will certainly be a season that will be remembered, and this book is a great way to remember it, Pablo, so thank you so much for doing it. Contributions from the players, I believe there's interviews with the players and management as well.
Yeah, and Andrew McLeod did the interviews with the players, because right in the middle of writing this book, I had a stroke. And that knocked me for 6. And actually, I couldn't type for a few days or weeks, right? And
you're on the mend now, though. You're on the mend.
Yeah, just about, right. I mean, I've had other things happen, but yeah. But I mean, I rattle with pills every single morning when I wake up, right? You know, walk around and you can just hear them inside my stomach. But yeah, I mean, Andrew Clyde did the interviews with the players. I wanted to do them, I couldn't. I interviewed John and Smudger. And then we had other people. Lois Smiley did the women's stuff. Mm-hmm. Some Egypt called John McAnally did something about the podcast. And then the entire Adams family seemed to get in on the thing. And William and Stuart did articles on the ultras and fan ownership. Then every single game's described in there. But I think 2 people really need to be given credit here. One is Ian Sneddon, who let us use all of his photographs without any money. In fact, no one had any fees in this.
Right? Oh, have you not got my invoice yet, Paul? No.
But, you know, we've done this entirely from voluntary people. Ian Sneddon gave us all these photographs. Great photographer. Man who follows Falkirk all around. Follows the women's team as well.
Yeah.
And then Andy Jameson, who sometimes designs the program and other stuff for us, he designed the book. Now, I used to be a designer back in the day, but I got crap. This guy's really good, and the book looks magnificent. I think you could just buy it for the photos and the page, right? You don't need to read my nonsense that I wrote.
It's a coffee book table is what we're saying, Paul. It's one that's going to sit in the coffee table beautifully, isn't it?
It's 84 pages long. It's hardback, with a nice embossed cover and dust jacket. So, yeah, if you want to leave it out there, you know, it can sit down there with, you know, anything else that you want to put out. It will look fine on anyone's coffee table or their bookcase, or, you know, you can just take your work and show off to the firmly fan that you work for.
No, it looks great, and you can now pre-order this. How do we do this, Paul?
Right, well, the club has got it on their website, and today I noticed that they sent out a second reminder to people to do it. In the first day, we sold 138 copies.
Brilliant.
We're up to 200. Now, the break-even on the book, which is currently at the printers, is 160. So every single book that's sold from now on, the 25 quid goes to John, to his playing budget, right?
Right.
I reckon that if we sell every one of the current order for the book, we can get about half a loan player out of the money. And if we manage to get more sales, ideally pre-sales, we can up the order. And actually, we'll make much, much more profit from every extra book we can order now. The cost of printing them is not that bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, from the club's point of view, I imagine that Jamie's rubbing his hands.
Smashing. Well, listen, I have to say, it looks great. I've seen pictures of it, and it looks absolutely, I can't wait to get my copy in my hands. Really,
yeah, me too.
And, you know, thanks for doing that, Pablo, because it's just going to be something that people will have forever. You know, remember when the Team of the Millennium book came out, and, you know, it's just something that you keep forever, and it's something that will just remind you of what a great season this last season was. It was just unbelievable. So thank you, Paul, for doing that. Really appreciate it.
I did it for the club, obviously, and so did everyone else. And I think it's just good to have something that we can keep for a long, long time. Yeah. You know, when your Invincible shirt's worn off your back, you've probably still got this book, right? I've still got the one from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I've just got to hang on and make it to 85 so I can write the third book, and that'll be fine.
Brilliant. Well, Pablo, thank you so much. And listen, if you want to win a copy of the book, check out our Twitter at Falkirk Daft. Like and share the post. You'll also find the details of how you can order your copy on there as well. So get on that, get on the Twitter, and you can win a copy of the show book by simply liking and sharing the post that we put up there, and we'll announce the winner on the show next week. So Pablo, thanks again once for coming on Falkirk Daft.
Yeah, great guys, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
Look forward to see this season.
And there we go. Mr. Paul Robertson there, and get your copy of the Untouchables book pre-order now. It looks like it's going to be an absolute cracker. And talking of competitions, Ross, we ran a competition this week with the new caterer in the form of Pie Sports, who are in the stadium now, and the pie stalls are looking great from what I saw in the pictures.
Yeah, no, I saw the social media post that Pie Sports had popped up, and the club had retweeted as well. It looks like they've done the full sort of kiosk up, which, if we're being honest, needed a bit of TLC.
Yeah.
Not that I know you and I we're not religious kind of pie hut goers, but whenever you do walk past it, it always looked a wee bit shabby, a wee bit tired looking. Actually, I think the concourse, I believe, has had a bit of a paint job as well. So they've obviously kind of cleaned up in there as well over the summer. But yeah, no, it's the feedback from people who are there on the weekend, the quality was good. I think the
prices are what everyone moaning about prices.
Yeah,
and the fact there was no kids meal deal, so I'll be interested to see if that changes. But as far as I've worked with Pie Sports before, and the pies are very good. I have to say, I'm a big fan of the Doner kebab pie that they do. It's excellent. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people complain about the prices. But listen, if it's a quality pie, because I don't think the pies were brilliant.
No, they weren't at all. And like, I know the previous supplier, they used to engage with the fans on some of the Facebook pages, and they would ask for suggestions. So I think they were good in that way. However, in terms of the quality, again, I know we weren't religious every game, but whenever you did get something, it was a bit hit and a miss. So I think the quality was definitely improved with Pie Sports, and certainly the feedback from Thistle fans and St Mirren fans who've used them previously have a lot of good feedback on them. So yeah, do you know, and I know you mentioned deals and stuff there. I'm sure as the season progresses, the fans will give feedback, and the club will try and work on with Pie Sports in terms of kind of doing some kids deals or meal deals, that type of thing. So yeah, I'm sure that'll work out. But we did run a competition to win quite a large banquet of
party buffet set, my friend. 72 items for the Euro final this Sunday. How are you going to get everyone round? Because you're going to have lots of pies if you win this. So the way we ran it is, we've done it before, is we asked you to turn a Falkirk player into a food, and we're inundated with entries to this. So let's just go through some of them, shall we? John Mitchell kicks us off with Paddy Gregg's steak bake, Cal Morrison's own brand of tatty scones, and Sean Welsh rare bit, or if you want to go back to the 80s, fullback Andy Pickle.
That's a few random ones there, but yeah, no, some good ones there. Is this the shortlist, or have we got?
Oh, this is the shortlist. We've not went through. There was hundreds of entries. This is the shortlist, and we'll pick from this, because this is what I've decided are the best entries. Sorry if you didn't make the shortlist.
Some crackers there. What's your thought? What's your gut feel?
Oh, let's go through a couple more of them. Scott Crabstick says Ingy. Yeah, Stuart's comes in with Kevin McBridey, Danny Mao, Brian Rice, Tommy Chocolate Coin. Very good. Keegan Jacobs, cracker. Angus Plum, Jimmy Fisher, Connor McGravy Granules, oh my god, and Neil Berry. Tom Lasagna, says David.
Oh, I like that one, Tom Lasagna.
It's not
like
bad, that. Scott Steeles, Leon McCannelloni, Stu Burgess, Mackenzie Lemon Soul, and Crawfish Baptie. Well done,
Crawfish Baptie's good as well.
Yeah,
Crawfish.
Ham McGivern, says Craig. Ali says Alex Ferguson. Grant says Alfredo Acumen. Alfredo Acumen is good.
One.
Richard Baguette says Gary. Casper Schnitzel. That's stretching from Adam. Brendan, right, he's got a few here, Brendan. He's got right into this. Brian Cinnamon Bun. Right, Brian Rice Pudding. Gregor Buchanan Bread. Rakesh Bingham and Chips. Bingham and Chips. Owen Canny Bag of Tudor Jones. Jackie McNamara Rang. And Andy Seaton All the Pies. Very good.
What was Jackie McNamara one?
Jackie McNamarang. McNamarang.
No.
Oh, right. Phil, Brad Spencer and Gary Olive from the current Copper Players.
Brad Spencer.
Pie Fotheringham, says Simbo. Donner Salmon, which is a double one from Josh. Pie Kennedy. Very good. Matthew Sprite, the Jesus Christ. Arnaldo Krasny Quiche. That's terrible. Coburn, Dylan after 8, or it should be after Tate. Ronnie goes Peter Heatherston. I don't know if we can mention Silky anymore. I think he might have been cancelled. Yeah. Ian says Chris Waddle. William goes for Daniel McBreen's on toast. Scott goes for Miles Nicky Hoagie Arth. And Navy Blue goes for Enoch Shawarma, David Haagen-Dazs, and Russell Latapai. Ross, I'm going to leave it down to you. Out of all of those that you've heard, what is winning the pies?
The one that's still stuck in my head is the Freddo. So I'm going to get, let's go with the Freddo one.
Big Grant is winning the pies. There you go. He's been a previous pundit on the podcast.
Is it Big Grant? It's the start of Still Game.
Keep them coming. It's Big Grant who wins it with a Freddo argument, and you're going to keep the pies coming all the way, Grant. We'll get in touch with you, let you know you won it. And like I say, if you want to win next week, win the book, which we talked about there, like and share on our Twitter.
And if Grant feels free to invite us round for the final as well.
Aye, please do. Please do, plenty of pies. Brilliant. Right, let's talk about the games and get a bit into the football now, and talk a bit about pre-season. Now, hold my hands up, I didn't go to the Dumbarton game and I missed the Alloa game due to gigs and due to my cousin being back in Australia, so I have no idea, and I think you missed both of them as well, Ross.
Yeah, I was on holiday for both. However, I caught the Alloa game on Falkirk TV, so so I got a chance to watch that one where I was. So, do you know what? It's pre-season, it's a run out, it's a stretch of the legs. I don't think there's much we're going to take from it in terms of how we're going to set up, because, well, we know how we're going to set up because it's, we've got, John McGlynn's got our formation nailed down. But in terms of personnel, loads of people got minutes, like Ross McKeever obviously played a couple of games at centre back again due to necessity. Michael McKenna got a few minutes out on the left side, which he probably wouldn't be normally. There was a few players out of position, but they were just getting minutes. That said, I think it was great to see and hear some of the players getting really good standout feedback. So obviously, Keelan Adams has been mentioned. Scott Honeyman came on.
Scott Honeyman has been mentioned a couple of times.
I was really impressed by Alfie on against Alloa as well, to be honest. Just some real personal highlights there. Pre-season, it can be a hit and a miss. We've obviously played two games that were open to the public. I believe we played a couple of bounce games, closed doors as well. So
I think we played Motherwell in a bounce game.
Played Motherwell in a bounce game last week, and we played Cumbernauld Colts, Keelan Adams' old team, I think that might have been the first game they played in before they played any fixture.
Any idea what was scoring the Motherwell game was?
I think it was a narrow loss. I want to say 1-0 to Motherwell. I believe Motherwell put a fairly strong team out. And I think we beat Cumbernauld Colts. I want to say 3-0, but that's a bit of a guess. I think that was what I read. Yeah. But yeah, just, you know, just lots and lots of minutes for the players. And it all leads towards Saturday, which is a massive, massive game to kick us off in the Premier Sports Cup.
Yeah, I mean, looking down, you know, I think what's pleasing to see is that we've got that comeback, still got that bounce back ability, as I like to say, you know, 2-0 down against Dumbarton, come back to win 3-2, and obviously being behind to Alloa on two occasions and then bouncing back to do 2-2. Yeah. Pleasing to see McKeever getting on the goal. You know, he had a deflected shot against Alloa and also got his goal as well. You know, Calvin Miller, Aidan Mesut, and Jordan Allen. Now, Jordan Allen got his goal against Dumbarton, from what we're hearing as we record this podcast, he could be on his way to Coidros.
That seems to be the chatter, the rumour, for those that were at the open day on Monday. The online chat was that he wasn't there. So we don't know whether he's injured or whether there's a move afoot.
Hearing that he's just changed his Instagram picture, whether that indicates anything to him on a Clyde top. By the time this podcast is recorded, Jordan Allen may be at Clyde. Who knows?
He is on X as well. Let's have a quick look to see if he's changed his picture on
Jordan. We're all Googling. Everyone's saying Jordan Allen. Yeah. Or certainly on Instagram, he's changed it to him in a Clyde top. So who knows what's going on with Jordan?
On X, he's still got his Falkirk picture on there for the time being anyway. So we'll see. There's not a lot. We know he doesn't really fit into John McGlynn's mould of how we play. We did all think that he was potentially going to be on the move this summer, and if it happens, it then creates a space in the squad for maybe a centre-back to come in because we're short just now, or indeed another striker, which, if I'm being honest, we could probably be doing as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we obviously heard after the Alloa game from John McGlynn and the injury problems that we had, and we could see from that our starting lineup, no Morrison, Tom Lang, who did feature against Dumbarton, didn't make it for Alloa. Leon McCann was seen kicking about in a moon boot, I believe, and I think he's broke his foot. But I don't think, and judging by John McGlynn's interview after the match, it's as bad as they first thought. And then Cole Donaldson was the other one. We heard that he's had to have an injection into his groin. Yeah. And the worrying thing is that John McGlynn says there's no time frame. We don't know when you're getting these players back, which, you know, and going into the Championship, you then start looking down that squad going, we're a bit thin on numbers here.
We are currently. I definitely think we are light just now. We've obviously got 4 Premier Sports Cup games coming up. They're important as well. We want to win them. We want to have a feel-good factor.
We've got a nice, our campaign last season was really good. You know, when you went through, we dropped Partick Thistle away and we had the...
We drew with Thistle, but we could have won.
We did win on penalties.
We lost very narrowly to Dundee United at home. We beat Ayr from memory and Clyde as well. So we want to try and get off to a good... It wasn't Ayr, that was the Challenge Cup, sorry. But yeah, we want to get off to a good start. We've got 4 games. They probably are... games that if we had a fully fit squad, we'd be thinking, listen, let's go and have a real good go. And I'm sure we will have a real good go. I do think Saturday will be tricky because of the players that we've got missing. I think we've got adequate starting 11, but I think our bench will look pretty light on Saturday.
So you think he's going to go, and we'll talk about this, we're going to speak about the Dundee United game, but you think that starting 11 could be that he started against Alan could be close to what we're going to see against the Dundee.
I personally think so. Yeah, I think that will
maybe
be
Brad, maybe Brad Spencer in there instead of someone.
Well, Brad's suspended on Saturday.
So he is.
Hence why I think he was on the bench on Saturday. I think they were planning ahead with him not there. So yeah, it'll be interesting, mate.
Ethan Oss played as the 10 as well.
Yeah, Nesbitt was a bit further back, which allowed Alfie on one wing, Calvin Miller on the other, and obviously Big Ross up front. Ross having a positive influence. We're getting a goal, and you could in theory say he got two because of the strike that was going in anyway. He's obviously on target for 30 goals again this season so far. But he's listen, we've got so many good attacking options. The midfield is really as tight as can be. The unknown is the defence, because we don't actually know how the defence is going to play. Like, who's going to be, is Mackie going to be centre back? Is he going to be left back? Is Hendel going to be in there? Keelan Adams, is he going to be right back? Is he going to be centre mid? Yeats, who you probably wouldn't drop to put into midfield, especially if we've got defensive cover, I think he'll be right back. So it's the defence that's up for debate, really.
It's that centre half position. We obviously know that Hendel can go back in there. You don't want to see McKeever going back in there. It was an elastic pass in that last game against Alan. We saw how Connor Salmon absolutely ragdolled him. You know, going into the Championship and going up against teams like Dundee United, and especially going to face air with George Oakley up front, he, you know, will struggle, I think.
I don't see him being centre-back. I think he's obviously got some minutes in the friendlies at centre-back, but I think, personally,
it'll be Mackie.
Mackie will be left-back. I think we'll have Keelan Adams and... I'll start again. I think it could be Mackie or Adams at left back. He's obviously, they've all now played both positions. I think Hendo will be centre back as well. And I think Finn Yeats will retain his right back spot.
It's just such a shame. You want to have that launch pad going into the season with everyone injured. Yeah. And last season, you know, wasn't bad until the end, where we suspensions and injuries caught up with us, but we were not too bad, but it's just a nightmare start to the season. And you just hope that there's going to be money. We've talked about Pablo's book, you know, money in the budgets, a lot of people topping up their season ticket with budgets, and just what, you know, where's that money gone to? Now, the initial thought is went into obviously increased wages going into the Championship with the players going up, bonuses. You know, we've brought on Ross, we've brought on Tate as well, but we do seem thin in numbers. Now it's just like, we need clearly a centre half. You know, Brad McKay left, so we're needing to immediately place him.
I still think, even though John McGlynn said in a don't know if it was Falkirk TV or Falkirk Herald, he said somewhere like that's his initial budget gone, right? He said that this time last year though, and the only caveat, he then went on to sign three or four players in early August and then late August because of the loan market. I personally don't think we're done. I can see two or three players coming in between now and the end of August. The difficulty we have at this moment in time is a lot of the teams want to retain their squad through the Premier Sports Cup because they know they've got four games over a 10 to 14 day period. So you tend to find there's not a lot of loan deals in July, but August time, that's when they start to kick in.
And you certainly think, coming up a level to the Championship, we're going to have a better shot at some of the players that the Premiership teams have access, and even looking down south as well, using the loan market down there, because suddenly we're in the Championship, we've got, you know, those big crowds, the infrastructure there, and you think, well, maybe there will be a dip in. But like you say, it's going to be interesting to see, because I certainly think, top of my wish list, and I want to hear your wish list, but certainly centre-half, and if we're hearing about Alan, I'm adamant we need a big, strong striker in that Championship, you know, and we've got Ross now. Don't get me wrong, we get Ross, but I just think we need a level above Ross for that Championship. When you look at what the other sides are doing in terms of the transfer markets.
Striker for me, John. I think.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Shanley and Oliver. Don't forget, you've got Shanley and Oliver there. But I think we need a grade above that. I mean, I've went on and on about Zach Rudden. I think he would be unbelievable in this side. Whether he's affordable or not, or able to go, I think he's got another year to run his deal at Dundee. So it would be interesting to see if we could coax him. That'd be an amazing signing. But like I say, it's just all reliant on that loan market. We'll see what happens. But fingers crossed, because we certainly, when you look at the squad against Alley, you could score against Dumbarton, we seem a bit short. But hey, maybe it's a chance for the likes of Honeyman and stuff like that to jump up and claim the spot, you know?
And these guys are unknown. And I don't just mean unknown to Falkirk fans. I mean, as in they're unknown to your Dundee United, your Ayr United, Stenismuir, Buckie. These teams don't know anything about. Well, they'll know a little bit because Scott Honeyman's been on loan at the Shire and things like that. But they don't really know the strengths of these players. So it's a bit of an unknown. And it's good. It's a good unknown as well. But for me, I think a striker is needed. Probably more so than a centre-half. Because when you get Tam back, when you get Cole back, there's your centre-back pairing, really. Or Hendo, sorry, in there as well. So we probably have cover, but it just feels really short the now because it's been a bit of a perfect storm with Leon being injured, with Tam and Cole. But hopefully they're all going to be fit come the first league game special.
Yeah. We reached out to you guys and asked you what you thought of pre-season so far. Dougie comes in with, I have to admit, I did expect at least another couple of new faces in the squad. This will let us see how good last season's squad really was. My hope for this season that even when results, which they will, of course, go against us, that we keep the support going from last season. Stuart Gilley says, League Cup could be a struggle this season due to the injuries. I think, it's looking that way. But the main thing is having everyone fit for the week start. Hopefully a couple of lone players still to come in. Just echoing what you're saying, Ross, as well. Let's keep up the winning mentality and ride it until then. The wheels fall off. That's from Ali. Falkirk Bairns 2007, thought we played some nice football in parts in the Saturday games, which was good to see, especially with the different lineup. But very concerned about the injuries to key players, especially at the back. Thought Adams looked good, silky spraying passes, but not sure how good a defender he is. Falkirk 493618 says some bonds still to be made within the team after a long break and with some new faces, but shouldn't be long. Young lads that came on at Dumbarton and at home to Al look like very good footballers with some more development. The Championship better watch out. There you go. And Falk FC Superstar says very pleased with Keelan Adams, very composed and assured, concerned about the injury situation as we are now very light on centre halves. Purse strings need to be loosened and soon. I'm sure that's what John McGlynn is chapping on the board's door at this moment and saying, listen, boys, we need to sort it out. And like you say, though, it could be a tough, tough League Cup campaign, Ross.
It might be based on numbers, but we do have a quality. We do have a quality squad. It's a Championship squad, so we shouldn't forget that as well. And as John McGlynn, I think, said after the Alloa game, there's an opportunity here for players that might not necessarily have been starting against Dundee United that will be starting against Dundee United. So it's a huge, huge chance for some of these players to go on and say, listen, I'm your man. Play me.
Yeah. And it is, of course, the Champions League apart from Ayr. So we've got in there Stenismuir from winning, League Two winners last season. We've got Buckie Thistle, Highland League winners, and Dundee United Championship winners, and of course us winning League One and Ayr.
And we're going to kick off the preview of the League Cup campaign with Fiona Balsillie, who is a Dundee United fan, fanatic, regular, home and away. Fee, welcome to Falkirk Daft.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Not a problem. We just thought it would be really good, as we always do, to get an away fan on, and we couldn't think of anyone better from a United perspective.
I don't think you could have thought of anyone else, really. Probably just me that you know, I think.
Not at all, Fiona, not at all. I'm obviously, me and Ross discussed, it's the Champions League and the League Cup with Stenismuir, Buckie and us and amongst you. How was last season for you as a United supporter?
Do you know what? Like, you never want to be relegated. Like, it's the worst feeling in the world. But a club like United, we obviously don't win that much. So to then go through and like win the Championship, it's like, but you guys know, don't you? It's the best, literally the best couple of weeks ever. we like that league. Like, maybe not all United fans will say this, but like me and my family really like the Championship. Like, get nice away days, you're not having to go to some of the Premiership grounds that aren't great to go to. So yeah, it was an absolutely brilliant season. At times, it was tough. Raith Rovers, obviously I'm from Kirkcaldy, so Rovers taking us so close wasn't great. But yeah, it was a fab season.
You had a good season in the cups. Obviously, I know you were disappointed to go out
No,
of
it was horrible.
the Challenge Cup to a Falkirk team, but you did okay in the cups as well. So you're really happy with kind of being back in the Premiership then.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. Like, first game's obviously against Dundee, which is so exciting. Like, the derbies are the best thing about like the Premiership. I'm excited, but I'm nervous because it's hard in that league now, isn't it? Like, and you kind of go for weeks sometimes not winning. Whereas in the Championship, like, we went on a really, really good run. Like, we didn't lose till December when we played Rovers. So I am excited, but obviously the first game, once we get that out of the way, hopefully we win, because otherwise getting beat against like your local rivals is horrendous, isn't it?
Not losing till December is pretty good. Obviously, it's not as good as May,
Not as good, yeah.
but
Definitely the
so looking ahead to Saturday then, what's your thoughts and feelings about the trip to Falkirk?
You were saying about us doing well in the cups. Like, we were terrible last year in the League Cup. Like, we went out in the group stages, didn't we? So I really don't know. Like, we've only played a couple of games pre-season. We played both behind closed doors, so we've nobody seen United. We played Annan, we won 2-0 at St Andrews, and then we played the Nomads, and we won
Oh,
that game as well.
Conas Keys from
Yeah.
Wales. Yeah.
From Wales, played them down south. So I really don't know. We seem on paper we look like we've got a decent squad, but it's went wrong for us before. So I'm hoping that we'll be decent. Made some good signings so far. Jim Goodwin keeps saying that we're going to be signing more, so fingers crossed. I don't think there'll be any more before Saturday, but you never know. So I'm confident, but also that pitch of yours, you know I'm not a fan, but let's not get into that debate.
Let's not get in the pitch debates here.
I know, we could go on all day about that. It's two of United brought in then, Fiona.
Yeah, so we've brought in Ryan Strain. He was at St Mirren last season. He's an Australian international, which is always good. We've obviously kept Louis Moult, which is good. The big one for me is we've brought back in Jack Walton, who was our keeper last season. He's on loan from Luton. He was just different class last season. Like, ask any United fan, the reason why we got probably relegated was our goalkeeper was awful the season that we got relegated. We've brought in an attacking player as well, from Macedonia, who has the same agent as Noske from Aberdeen. So if
Yeah, I
he's
saw that.
any good, Jim Goodwin obviously signed him at Aberdeen. So if he's as good as him, then we'll be laughing. So those are kind of main signings. A defender as well, who you're probably not going to have heard of, to be honest. But sometimes unknown ones are good, so we'll see.
And are those new signings all likely to kind of feature at Falkirk?
Yeah, I think so. Chaponski, who is the Macedonian player, he played against Anne. He scored apparently an absolute cracker off a goal. So he's quite forward-minded. Obviously, we've got him, we've got Watt, and we've got Moult. So up front, and last season we were pretty good. Got Kai Fotheringham, who played brilliant last season. So
Yeah, Kai was ex-Falkirk
yeah.
before
Good lad.
the academy. Yeah, so local. He scored against us obviously last
Last season. A bit cheeky,
July in
wasn't it?
the group stage as well. Yeah, so
Yeah.
quite a bit about Kai.
Yeah, no. So we're good from attacking point of view. I think they will all kind of feature in some level. We'll just need to see what Jim Goodwin can be a bit funny sometimes with his team selection. You re never really know what he's going to do. And that was sometimes a criticism last season that we were very up and down. Like, we would play well and then he would change the team completely and nobody would really know what to expect. So we don't
You
know.
mentioned Louis Moult. So obviously previously he's not played much against Falkirk in the two games due to his
The pitch,
previous
yeah.
knee. Well, I was going to
Yeah.
say due to his knee situation
The
rather than our pitch, but is he likely, do you think he'll be on the bench with that in mind?
Probably on the bench, I would think. He didn't play much at all when he came. He used to basically come on from the bench, like when it was Ash Turf, like he did the same against Rovers. He only played like half the game, then would come on. But yeah, who, like, genuinely, who knows with Goodwin? It is really difficult to tell. I think probably Watt will start. He finished the season pretty well. For all his kind of all the chat you get about him, I thought he actually had a pretty good season last season. To be fair, on now he's like a new signing.
Yeah, he's always impressed me, Tony Watt. When he's,
I like him.
Yeah, he's always come up. He's actually a fan of the. He said he'd rather play on a Astro pitch rather than a bad grass pitch.
I've seen that.
Yeah, so
yeah, like the tweet, Tony Watt, he's quite funny with stuff like that, and I think he was trying to get some of the Raith Rovers fans back on side with that comment. But yeah, I've seen that comment.
He's teeing up his future move to Falkirk. That sounds like that.
we certainly could do a striker, so that would, I wouldn't mind that. But yeah, Fiona, what do you think the score will be come Saturday?
I think it'll be close, but I'm going to go 2-1 United.
2-1 United. Ross, what are you thinking?
Well, obviously, we've just been talking about all our injuries. I'm never going to say anything but a Falkirk win, so I think I'm going to go Bairns 1-0. Falkirk 1-0.
I think with our injuries, and I'm not going to ever back against Falkirk, well, maybe sometimes, but I think we'll struggle to win this one. I'm going to go for a draw, 0-0. That's it.
Win on penalties, I'll take that.
Yeah, go three penalties.
Yeah, draw, 0-0, and a Falkirk win on the pens. That's what I'll we'll go for that. Boy bonus point of 1 point, I think so. But yeah, listen, you'll be looking forward to being back in the Premiership, I'm guessing, Fiona. Well, you saying that, you said you prefer the Championship.
It's just the away days and like the crowd. I just much prefer it like than going to.
And you can get a bit more wins and enjoy it a wee bit more.
Exactly. Saying that, I don't want to be relegated this season, so don't quote me on that at the end of the season if we're bottom of the league again.
Is that you got your Dundee United nail polish on ahead of the weekend as well?
No, it's actually a coral. It'll be changed, but nail appointment on Friday, so it'll be changed by Saturday. I'll maybe go for blue.
John, Fiona's going to be breaking her Graham Hotel, Elliot's duck.
There you go. I'm sure you'll get welcomed with open arms at the Graham Hotel on Saturday, Fiona. And I'm sure Ross will be buying all the drinks for you.
Yeah, I'll hold him to that.
Yeah, great, my connection's gone.
Fiona, thank you so much for joining us in Falkirk Daft, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, I'll see you later.
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global.
So, thanks to Fiona for joining us. Like you say, it's Dundee United. And then we're right into Ayr on the Tuesday away. There's Bucky Thistle next Saturday. Then Saturday after that, it's back. Looking forward to this one especially. Stenny at the stadium, Ross. I am saying to Fiona, I think we'll draw. I think we're really going to struggle on Saturday. I really do.
I would take a draw and win on pens right now. If I could, I would do it.
Absolutely. Ayr's going to be interesting. That we'll start to see, again, I think, I can't remember who said it on Twitter, but I think the League Cup's going to be a real, with a lot of injuries we've got, it's going to be a struggle. But, you know, who knows? It'd be good to get into the next stage of it just for, you know, the money to come in and hopefully buy some more players.
Financially, we want to try and get through. So, like, I know we can't talk about why I was doing it at the stadium today just yet, but the chat at the stadium this afternoon was that getting through would obviously be fantastic from a footballing perspective, but as you just said, it's worth an extra £20,000 in prize money alone.
That's
even before your potential draw in the next round after that that might get picked for TV or a big game against Premiership team, either away from home or at home. So you want to try and get through. So these four games are really important. Do you know what? Playing Dundee United first might not be a bad thing, because as Fiona's just mentioned, we came back a lot earlier than them. They've not played too much games, And as we know, they have struggled on Astro previously. Some of their players have struggled in Astro. So it could be a good time to play them. I just hope there's a big crowd. The chat that I got today was that ticket sales have been pretty low so far, unfortunately. Now, it is obviously school holiday time. Loads of people are off on their holidays.
I mean, I'm missing it. I'm away on my holiday, so yeah. I'm missing it.
So it's understandable that not everyone that would go to a league game is going to be there. I think the chat was it's just over 1,000 have been sold so far, which granted it's Tuesday, so there is loads of time to sell tickets. But if we could get 2,500 to 3,000 Bairns fans in the stadium, what a difference it can make. We saw that last year. I think the Ultras made their debut, didn't they, against Dundee United that night in the cup at home. So what in a full section of Ultras would be brilliant as well.
Yeah, like you say, though, it's a tough with school holidays and
it's tough.
I can't remember, when's the Falkirk Fair? I don't think fairs are a thing now, but I think the Falkirk Fair is actually this spring.
I think this is the first week of it, of the traditional fortnight. So,
ask your parents' kids what that is. But I know it'll be interesting to see what the crowds are. But fingers crossed, like you say, we'll be back on Falkirk Daft in a couple of weeks' time to preview the Steny game and also look back at the AR and Bucky Thistle and Dundee United games.
Yeah.
This is Falkirk Daft with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
And that is it for Falkirk Daft. First one back, went all right.
Yeah, getting back into our groove.
Back into our groove. Thank you very much for listening or watching on YouTube. Remember to rate us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Get us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Falkirk Daft, and subscribe and like our YouTube channel. And you can buy merch still, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Get kitted out for the new season. We'll actually put the links up so you can get look snazzy in your Falkirk Daft gear when you go back into the new season. If you don't fancy any of the strips, you can always buy that. And like I say, all the merch profits go back into the club. We'll be sponsoring players and doing all our usual things with the club because Ross just doesn't like making money. So yeah, all that.
Give it to the club. Just go back into the club.
Pretty much. And you can get in touch with us anytime, John or Ross at falkirkdaft.co.uk. Great to be back in the swing of things. I think we'll get into in the next couple of weeks, we'll get into predictions. We'll look at some other of our championship rivals, I think, over the next couple of weeks on Falkirk Daft, because it's been interesting looking across the championship. Some teams are really rolling the dice when you look down at some of the signs. I mean, I'm looking at you, Ayr. Wraith Rovers obviously bringing in some real experience in the likes of Hanlon and Stevenson. It's going to be interesting. Our friends over at the Water and Fife, they're not having a great time over there at the moment, it seems like, as well. They're not getting a lot of bodies in the door. Going to be a really interesting season, a really interesting championship, but we'll get into that over the next couple of weeks on Falkirk Daft. Like I say, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time to look back at the League Cup games that have been and also preview the Steny game, and then back into league action. Cannot wait. Enjoy it if you're going to the game. Get, like Sir Ross says, try and get along on Saturday, support the boys, and see where we're at. Come next week.
That's it. Expect unexpected.
That's what I've been missing. Say it again for me, brother. Say it again for me.
I'll say it sexily. Expect unexpected.
Beautiful.